Hi everyone, I'm Debbie Roberts, owner and financial advisor at Property Apprentice. Join us today for the Week in Review, where I talk about current events for the everyday investor and home buyer. Our topics for this week, first up from Good Returns on the 25th of March, ComCom accused of being out of touch with the reality of mortgage advice. Second topic from One Roof on the 26th of March, warning to first home buyers as ANZ gives property investors a leg up. Third topic from Stuff on the 25th of March, will tax reform be Labor's trump card in the next general election? Fourth topic from One Roof on the 25th of March, rentals costing landlords up to $450 a week in top-ups. And fifth topic for this week in review from One Roof on the 27th of March, Tony Alexander, extra difficulties for renters lie just around the corner. So before I kick off with topic number one, just want to say I hope you all had a lovely Easter weekend and enjoyed some good downtime with the family. I know we managed to get a few days, so hopefully you all did too. So first topic for this week in review from Good Returns on the 25th of March, ComCom accused of being out of touch with the reality of mortgage advice. The mortgage magazine Readers, TMMO, strongly criticised the Commerce Commission's allegations that mortgage advisors might be influenced by the commissions paid by banks. Some felt that ComCom chair John Small's comments reflected a disconnect from reality among those in legislative and compliance roles. Readers objected to Small's focus on mortgage brokers, noting that legislation now calls them financial advisors, requiring them to hold a Level 5 certification. Some suggested that Small should undergo such training to better understand the industry. Small expressed concerns about brokers' disclosure of conflict of interest, particularly regarding their access to various banks and the differing commissions they receive. ComCom suggested that the Financial Markets Authority should monitor disclosure more closely and issue guidelines for brokers. However, advisors argued that they already disclose commissions and bank affiliations in their disclosure statements. They also have to actually point out exactly how much commission they're getting from the lender when they put your loan application forward. They emphasised their commitment to customer needs and integrity. Some advisors criticised Small, calling his comments uninformed and questioning his bias towards KiwiBank. They also questioned the effectiveness of providing KiwiBank with more capital to challenge major banks, suggesting it reflects the failure of government ownership in banking. One of the other concerns from mortgage advisors following this Commerce Commission report was that there was a conflict of interest, and apparently they were worried about how the commissions that they made from different lenders could sway their opinion. Whereas in reality, the commission that is paid from one bank versus another bank is very competitive and unlikely to have any sway whatsoever on a mortgage advisor's advice. So 100% back that up, that mortgage advisors work in the best interests of their clients. And if anything, it promotes more competition amongst the different banks working with a mortgage advisor than it does by going directly to the bank yourself. Second topic from One Roof on the 26th of March, warning to first home buyers as ANZ gives property investors a leg up. ANZ, one of New Zealand's largest banks, has adjusted its lending rules for rental properties, potentially giving investors increased purchasing power. The bank now considers a higher percentage of rental income for older properties, simplifying the application process for property investors. Previously, ANZ treated new and existing properties differently, but now both are evaluated under the same criteria. This change includes factoring in rates and insurance expenses to calculate the rental income. ANZ stated that these adjustments are part of its regular affordability review process and aligns its procedures with other banks. According to Gareth Veal, a mortgage advisor at Easy Street Mortgages, these modifications could provide investors with tens of thousands of dollars more buying power, particularly for purchasing older properties. He anticipates that other banks will likely follow ANZ's lead soon. Previously, ANZ applied shading, which is a reduction in allowed income for the calculation of provable income, of 12% for new properties and 24% for existing properties, excluding rates and insurance. With the new rule, about 27.8% of income is shaded, including rates and insurance, making it more favourable for borrowers. While these changes benefit investors, they may intensify competition for properties among first home buyers, as both groups vie for similar housing stock. The resurgence of investor interest in existing properties driven by changes in tax policies could further challenge first home buyers in the market. However, I would argue that it's not your professional property investor that first home buyers need to worry about. It's the mum and dad investors that are buying based on emotion instead of buying based on the numbers. So if you're not sure, if you're a property investor and you're not sure which camp you fall into, maybe you should come along to one of our free events and learn a bit more about the business of investing in property. And despite these adjustments, barriers such as higher interest rates remain significant for new mortgage applicants. So certainly not expecting an upsurge in the near future from property investors into the market. While ANZ's shading rule change is notable, it may not prompt a flood of investors because of that interest rate environment. Overall, the housing market does continue to see a mix of purchases, with first home buyers and movers topping the list as the major buyers in the current market, and investors considering a range of different property types. While ANZ's policy adjustment may influence investor behaviour, it's unlikely to drastically alter the property market landscape. And I expect that all the other banks will also adjust their settings in the near future with these changes coming to the interest deductibility. If you'd like to learn more about investing in property, join me at one of our free events called How to Succeed with Property Investing. I'll discuss strategies for successful investing from my perspective as an experienced investor and a financial advisor, available live online or in person. Check out propertyapprentice.co.nz for upcoming dates and register today. We don't sell property, so it's all about increasing your knowledge to reduce your risk. If you've already been to one of our free events and you'd like to find out more about how we can help you to reach your financial goals, you can also book a no-obligation phone call or meeting with my husband, Paul Roberts, via the website. That's propertyapprentice.co.nz. Third topic for this week in review from Stuff on the 25th of March. Will tax reform be Labor's trump card in the next general election? Labor Party leader Chris Hipkins delivered his inaugural address as opposition leader in South Auckland over the weekend, unveiling plans for a revamped tax policy leading up to the next election. Hipkins emphasised the necessity of tax reform, signalling a renewed focus on taxing the wealthy. Imagine my surprise. However, Finance Minister Nicola Willis criticised Labor's proposal, characterising it as a predictable call for increased taxes. Hipkins has set a timeline of over 2 years to persuade voters of the merits of taxing the wealthy more. While he stopped short of advocating for specific taxes like a wealth or capital gains tax, he underscored the importance of tax reform in his address. Hipkins clarified that taxing the wealthy would not be pursued prior to the next election, but asserted that tax reform would be a priority moving forward. The call for tax reform echoes recent sentiments expressed by the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, and former Finance Minister Grant Robertson. Robertson, in his farewell speech after 16 years in Parliament, highlighted the inequities of New Zealand's tax system and advocated for measures to address them. Similarly, the IMF recommended implementing a capital gains tax, a land value tax, and changes to corporate income tax to address fiscal challenges and promote investment. In response, Finance Minister Nicola Willis reaffirmed the government's stance against tax increases, emphasising their commitment to reducing taxes for hardworking individuals. Willis criticised Labor's handling of economic issues, attributing Labor's electoral defeat to their proposed tax policies. Hipkins has been engaged in strategic planning with Labor MPs to reassess the party's priorities and approach following their election loss. While Treasury documents revealed discussions about potential tax reforms, including a tax-free zone, a wealth tax, and a capital gains tax, these proposals were ultimately abandoned amid political pressure. Fourth topic for this week in review from One Roof on the 25th of March, rentals costing landlords up to $450 a week in top-ups. Here are five key insights into the current housing market from CoreLogic's chief economist, Calvin Davidson. Challenges for investors. With gross yields at 3% and mortgage rates at 7%, it's tough for new investors to make rental property purchases profitable, he said. The negative gap between rent returns and mortgage costs mean needing to find $350 to $450 weekly just to break even. Existing landlords are coping better due to lower purchase price and rental growth, but new investors face significant hurdles. My answer to that point would be, especially if you're looking at purchasing a new build, the numbers just do not stack up. But with existing rental properties, the rental returns tend to be much higher than 3% gross yield, and obviously interest rates will start coming down again soon. GDP data, second point. Stats New Zealand's recent GDP data showed a 0.1% decline in quarter four of 2023, which confirms ongoing economic struggles and firmly puts us into that recession. However, it's not cause for panic as it aligns with the Reserve Bank's efforts to cool the economy. Expectations for an OCR cut later this year have slightly increased, but it's not certain yet. And as I've stated on a number of occasions, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we get an OCR cut earlier than the last part of this year. But we shall see. Time will tell. We'll see what all the rest of the data looks like. Number three, lending recovery. February's mortgage lending data is expected to continue the slow upward trend. The growth is mainly driven by house purchases, while bank switches and equity withdrawals remain subdued. Around 57% of existing mortgages are due for rate repricing within the next 12 months, which increases the repayment issues that a lot of people could be facing moving forward. Sentiment and inflation expectations, point number four. With ANZ's upcoming consumer and business sentiment measures for March, due to provide insights into confidence levels and inflation expectations, rising confidence and easing inflation expectations could reduce the likelihood of further OCR increases, potentially influencing mortgage rates and also potentially bringing that OCR decrease closer towards us. And last point from this report was from the labour market and impact. Stats New Zealand's release of February filled job figures will shed light on employment trends. With employment trending higher, the labour market continues to support mortgaged households in adjusting to the current interest rates. And last topic for this week in review from One Roof on the 27th of March, Tony Alexander, extra difficulties for renters lie just around the corner. Independent economist Tony Alexander analyses the current dynamics in the rental market based on surveys he conducts monthly. These surveys provide insights into consumer sentiments, business experiences and the real estate market, particularly focusing on the rental sector. Despite rising costs for insurance, council rates, debt and maintenance, rental growth isn't accelerating as much as expected. According to recent surveys, investors plan to raise rents by an average of 5.6% in the coming year, unchanged from previous months and down from the peak of 6.3% in July last year. This stagnation in rental growth is likely due to the limited ability of renters to pay higher rents, given the financial strain that many are experiencing. While the planned rent increase exceeds current inflation rates, accountants specialising in property investment indicate that the numbers no longer favour investors, especially with interest rates at high levels. This poses a challenge as there's a growing need for more rental accommodation to meet the demand driven by New Zealand's booming population growth, largely due to increased net immigration. The influx of migrants has made it easier for landlords to find good tenants, with a record number reporting that it's easy to find tenants. However, prospects for construction are worsening, with developers struggling to sell multi-unit developments and facing challenges in securing pre-sales necessary for refinancing. This could lead to a shortage of rental properties in the future. Moreover, fewer landlords, according to the survey, plan to hold on to their properties long-term, with many considering selling, which could further shrink the rental stock and pose additional difficulties for renters in the future. My opinion is we need more property investors, not less, and reintroducing the interest deductibility into the equation is certainly going to help a lot of property investors hold on to the rental properties that they've already got. Learning about property investing early on gives you the opportunity to weather fluctuations and overcome the temporary challenges that we're seeing in the current market. If you don't know where to start, come along to one of our How to Succeed with Property Investing events. During these two-hour workshops, I cover off the most recent property market data. And as an experienced property investor and a financial advisor, I share valuable insights and expert tips to help you on your journey. Our free events cater to all levels of property investors and first home buyers. I'll also tell you more about how we help our clients to achieve their financial goals. So if you're interested in finding out more about what we do, visit propertyapprentice.co.nz today to secure your spot and register for one of our events. Alternatively, you can book a no obligation phone call or meeting with my husband, Paul Roberts, through our website. Like, that's a really good idea if someone else from a different company has told you what they think that we do. Do some fact checking on your own, because I know that some of the stuff out there is completely incorrect about us. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your week.